contract may be a robbery.
Not this bank is stealing.
Well, he is.
His concern goes like this, that if we have a 250 billion tight ceiling, then members know that that means many programs are going to get slaughtered. On the other hand, if we have the concept of a spending ceiling and a tight one, and we have a number like 255 billion, which I suspect in looking at the budget is we're going to do well to get into that.
Yeah.
Then he isn't going to have that fight with the members, he's going to get his bill through. Now,
well, the point that I make is that any ceiling, even if it's rubber, is good because I can use that as an excuse for withholding funds.
Right. You can withhold. You can withhold.
I want to say, you can withhold. Well, I have an excuse though. I can say, well, the Congress is the ceiling in the spirit of it requires. See, that's the line I would
look. I think the President has to stick by his figure to
the well, 255.
Now the President may, in the end, be willing to compromise.
Well, what we thought we might do in the debt ceiling hearings is to come in and say, the President wants a $250 billion ceiling and a tight ceiling. And consistent with that, here are our estimates of the amount of debt that we think that we can get through at the end of June. If we have a 250 ceiling with a $465 million debt ceiling, and we work that through, and then somebody will say, "Well, suppose you have a higher spending ceiling," and we would have to say, "Well, the higher the spending ceiling is, the higher the debt ceiling is going to have to be." It's just arithmetic. But we want the 250, but then they will probably mess around with what I think we would come out with something a little higher, but. Your position can be continuous on the 200.
Do the best you can, because Arthur, you're in a position, of course, to speak cold turkey to him, say, look, whether that's your responsibility. But as I said, you can drop my hand, you know, don't feel that it hurts. Yeah, so,
Milton was quite responsive to both the domestic financial markets and the importance of letting domestic financial markets know that the budget is not a runaway budget, that there is at least some lid on it. And second, he's responsive to the argument that international financial markets need this kind of a reassurance. And both of those points were easy
well,
to
see. Well, that gives me an entry wage. We have these meetings in September.
Yeah.
And these meetings will not be to a success unless there is a demonstration.
On our part, we'll come now to that, to whatever other subjects you want, but let's finish because I have to decide right now on the meeting. I tentatively, Arthur, told George this morning that I tentatively would go on a meeting to address the group and commit to all.
Yeah, I was very
your name was on. They said, you said Arthur, and I said Arthur, it was for it. And now we've got to work the speech off over. I guess we'll let her do some things on it, but you see, it's a subject that you well know that I'm no expert on, but I have received them.
You see the notes prepared by the Treasury staff.
Which prepared us, and
yeah, I've got those
paragraphs, content notes that we went over, Arthur went over those, and they're sort of an agreed set.
But we'll do it. We'll make the talk, and then that gives us a line, and we've got a positive line. In the meantime, as I told George, it's very important for all of us, to the extent we can, except for me, the rest of you, to try to sell it to the responsible writers, the Ed Dales, the Wall Street Journal crowd, and the others, so that they will think that we have a good plan. You know, you're not going to sell them all because it's an election year. But you sell some. If you think it is a climate
change,
it's an improvement.
We have to be very cautious with climate.
You mean you wrote?
We have to stress principles, become a little specific, fairly specific, but not specific to the point where either you personally or the plan itself, you say, will become the target of serious criticism. And I think we can accomplish that. I'm quite confident.
When I Is it no reason for us to do anything now that's a minus?
Well, of course.
I mean, when you recall.
And this is something, Mr. President, that is that we worked out basically between Arthur and I and our respective staff, and I think we've got it into some shape. We have discussed it in a wider group, including Bill Rogers and Herb Stein, and we've had one full day of discussion here about a week ago, and we've had a number of 2-hour meetings that's been pretty thorough.
Right? Rogers, quite Arthur, as you know, he raised it with me. If he doesn't want us to be specific at all on the ground, then it might shake international monetary markets. My feeling is if you don't say something, it'll shake international monetary markets. So anyway, I'm going to go.
Well, I accept this conclusion. I don't want to shake the international.
Sure.
Working my neck off for months and developing it with some success. But I'm pretty confident that we can do this without upsetting markets. On the contrary, it's still more confidence. That's the objective of the game, and I think we can pull it off. Simplest plan, but I'm not sure it's the
no reason why you can't add, because certainly Mexico, you would have no problem there. And the Mexican is not acting well at all, in terms of,
they were Mexican option they were put out because I didn't go down.
Well, as a matter of fact, I think it'd be useful for you to go there. It's a short trip. Treating them specially. That could be better. You might even take it. Why don't you just go down to Mexico City and have a chat? You go down 3 hours, spend the day, come back.
When?
Anytime, right now. Paying attention to the Mexicans is terribly important.
No.
You go to Canada, don't you?
I've been there. I was there in May.
Well, Mexico, you see, is so close. I think you treat them a little special and separate from the others. I agree, live up to your four. If you get beyond that, because of little countries, you get mad as hell.
That's a little country.
See, there's no pain. Don't do anything for children.
Oh, no.
Stay miles away from there.
See, doing it this way, I thought, well, it's easy. I'm just returning their hospitality.
Excellent. Excellent. Could I suggest that what you do have a invite your ambassadors also to your dinner, if you have dinner, or lunch.
That's interesting.
No. See? Their ambassadors, are, it builds them on so that they don't want to have a you have adequate, you have financing for that sort of thing. If not,
no, we were all right.
Well, state can help on
no,
if
no,
you have the ambassadors.
No, we don't, we were all right.
That's good foreign policy. Always have the ambassadors argue when you have these people, you know, you'd always do it with the British because he is an expert, but the ambassadors, it just builds them up like the Dickens.
Fine. Wait, did you read the report I sent you on that wire really get to you?
Very.
Was it interesting?
Very interesting, very, and very interesting to our Irish district, our whole operation.
Well, I'm glad I
very you did a lot of work.
Yeah, I hadn't heard from him. Well, I knew how busy you were. My only question
was
whether you would actually
right.
see it.
Right.
Fine. I had a good trip.
Oh, you had a good trip.
And
the one thing that that you, of course, which I think really concerns me the most in that area is Argentina. And it concerns you, obviously. There's no reason for Argentina to be in trouble. It's a damn country's rich. And their talk is now grown when they come back.
Well, you see what I'm saying.
How did they impress you? I mean, not them, but how did the finance group? They used to have a very good finance group.
They have 80 people to buy to. The government has not supported them. They keep on turning over their economic team every 3 months. You take the central bank governor. He's already gone since I've been there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's strange. I heard I'm moving from one meeting to another, and I mean, people would introduce me. Here's a former finance minister, former head of the central bank, former minister of economics. Dozens of them around. And in talking to, well, you know, I met with economists covering political spectrum. They wanted it that way, and I wanted it.
I noticed.
But one thing they could agree on was that government is unstable. And
oh,
this is hurting everyone.
Brazil is a rest of your heart. I noticed.
I say to you, Mr. President, if I were a young man,
you go
interested in money. Well, the second requirement, interested in making money. I go there first because anyone with some energy and some imagination can make it, and then you can keep it after he's made it.
Yeah. And the thing is, they're going to continue to have Brazil as sort of a strong central government that will guarantee it. I mean, it's other countries, well, if you go invest in Honduras and in Peru, they're likely to appropriate it. That's the trouble with Argentina.
No, but this is the main hope of Latin America. This is the example.
But you're lying. And as though our State Department has got to quit encouraging the damn radicals down there. I mean, we can't be Latin American,
are they?
I don't mean like Chile. But they don't like the government in Brazil because they think it's too dictatorial.
Oh,
Latin Americans need strong hand. They need it. I mean, they don't have any government in Latin America that's worth damn that has a sort of American style.
try to second guess these governments that have a strong hand.
Well, this is something that he spoke to me about on the American Press. He was worried about keep on criticizing the government and talk about, you know, torturing prisoners.
I don't know what you want to do, but let them happen like Chile. That's why they do it.
And it's being done on a very limited scale.
Sure.
They also do it in the case of terrorists trying to get information out of them about terrorist groups.
Arthur, it's a Latin way of speaking. Latins have been doing this since the beginning of time. Spanish are damn cruel people. Right? You know that.
It'd be interesting unless a comment by Medici's rhetoric to be show up, but it conveys an attitude. If you want to know, I'm thinking about the possibility of you making my
said that there's two problems. One, as far as pending progress is concerned, it will not occur after the election because everybody waits. Then we will have enormous bargaining power. And second, as far as the situation is with the Arabs are concerned, this is something we just keep among ourselves, the Russians. Henry's going to be over there. And forget that you hear this, this will naturally be discussed. But after the elections, we all have to sort of get the Arabs, the Russians have more stroke with Israel's enemies than we have. We have stroke with the Saudis, we've got it with the Jordan, we have it with the Lebanese, we've got it, of course, with Iran. The Russians have got it with the Egyptians and the Syrians. Now, the big powers have got away, but the most important thing here, Israel is extremely sensitive. They don't want the Russians to sell them down there, or us to get together with the Russians. So we are Israel's friend. That's why I have to be very careful between now and the election, to be on Israel's side, to get the fight. Because if they don't deal, apart from the votes, if Israel doesn't deal, we've got a friend here. They're going to take the law in their own hands and start kicking the hell out of the Arabs, which they can do, but it'd be a very victory. Quietly.
Peace means war with Israel, I think, yes.
Sure. Quietly.
Great. That would be a great
quietly. We are working on that. Rogers is doing an excellent job of it.
Now?
Excellent. Yes, sir. In private channels.
And is using this tragedy as a new reunion opportunity?
Yes. It will. But I think we've got to do something after the election. So, Israel is an opportunity by being in our camp. Those youngsters grow up. Paying all this money out and so forth. And, not so much for that. So there are other problems in the world.
Yeah. I'm worried, Mr. President, about tax problem as it is emerging in this election. I think the governor has done a very clever piece of work in the rates, additional $10 billion to corporations, an additional $12 billion or so from individuals, and he's able to say people who earn wages and salaries will not have to pay one additional cent in taxes.
That is for lower by now. You see, that's the point. No, that is.
He's a win.
That's what he has said. But you see, his total budget is $100 billion above.
I know that. Well, I'm talking about his tax proposals. The tax proposals put into effect would be rules for the
economy. Oh,
I think as politics is very clever. You see, you've got to raise all this additional money in taxes and nobody earning wage or salary will have to pay an additional cent.
Well,
now he has started an attack which I feared he would do if this was in the cards all along. Start an attack on you, on the problem that you want a sales tax, value added tax. Now, this sales tax is politically inept at the present time. I think you have to dissociate yourself from that.
We absolutely do. Absolutely, I agree. Back then, we have to dissociate from any increase in taxes. And,
well, I wonder if you can get by. I scratch my head.
Yeah.
Well, okay. we, you know, under the present law, we have a minimum tax of 10%. See, rich individuals get a lot of municipal securities, capital gains, tax, and so on. Well, hell, the tax bill will be very low, so you have a minimum tax of 10%. Well, can't you raise that, you see, without really doing anything to raise it and satisfy the sense of equity? I think 10% is damn low. And I'm not committing yourself to anything specific. But you are, at a limited number of affluent individuals, and you're going to raise the minimum tax on them? What do you think, George?
Well, this is something raised by us. We have discussed a great deal. I think that the minimum tax proposal is a much better way, really, of going after the tax shelter type problem than going directly after the individual items, because the individual items are there and they
they're
produce a
their policy.
They themselves, that's not only made so I have a policy. So that the minimum tax way of getting at it, I think, is preferable to the way the government's done it. In fact, he has left himself in a position where he is.
You're protecting politically. He's going to argue. He already is, and you'll hear a lot more about it. You're protecting the applicant. Well, all right. Now, you're not protecting the applicant. You're protecting America.
That's for sure.
Now, the,
also, we give him a hell of a tax reform already.
Sure.
I think one of the things that fascinates
us is going to be kicked around, you know?
Well, I just failed to vote out here.
When you came out against us in my direction before you came in today, I said, not that damn value I think that'll be knocked out of the clear out. I can't knock it clear out today. What I did was saw it. I moved off of it.
You moved
Well, I can't knock it off yet, Arthur. We've got the advisory commission, we've got governors and mayors, everybody sitting out there working like hell, studying at a cost of $85,000 or something to the federal government. The
president doesn't have to take their advice.
Well, the president said he would take their advice.
Well, what do you want to say today?
I said this. I said that my understanding was that the ACIR was cool for the value of the tax, and that I thought it would be unwise speculation for them to elevate it from the realm of possibility to the realm of probability, that there were, that this administration was not committed to it in any way, shape, or form. Now, we can reconsider
the amount against the tax increase.
I flatly said you were committed to no tax increase.
No tax increase.
Right. Now, they dodged, bobbed, weaved. They want to talk about tax substitution. Does that mean increase and all this kind of stuff? And I said, all I can tell you is the general policy thrust, which you will see from the Tax Reform Act of 69, the Tax Reform Act last year. I mentioned the fact that in 69 we tried to get a minimum tax, but that the Congress fell far short of what we asked it to do. I said, from that whole course of conduct, the President's tax policy is well known. He has eliminated poor people from the tax rolls. He has reduced lower income brackets. He has increased taxes on corporations. He has strived for greater equity. And I think it's fair to assume that that will continue to be the President's tax policy.
Before we get to the, John, before we get to the, and not too long, but to get this, these people to take a look at it down here, we got to get off of the value of the
fine. But between noon and 3 o'clock today, we can't do it. It's got to be done with preparation. You've got to have the ACIR in. You've got to say to them, gentlemen, what's your opinion? And they've got to say to you, this thing is full of problems, which they will.
Right.
And then you could then say, I've taken the advice of the ACIR, and I've concluded that it's not a viable alternative.
You see, I agree with you. We can't be for a tax increase in sales, any kind of sales tax or value add, which, of course, what kind of thing we were considering. You even thought it
would
but
it's
so not.
I'm doing the motion here.
Right, but I agree. Now, so let's get off of it. The point is, don't let him have an issue of raising taxes. He's the guy who's got to raise taxes.
Right.
His budget, you see, the whole, it's a phony for him to say, when he puts out that silly welfare program, there'll be no increase in taxes. That's providing you don't have a voter program. But other spending programs he's for, that he's approved in his platform, would add a net of $100 billion to spending, which means a 50% tax increase. That's what he
That I got it.
Anybody question that?
No.
Right.
Now, that's what I'm asking. Let me ask this critical question, Arthur. What do you think, suppose, what figure, what number would you put on it? Now, that's a tax increase for whom? Who's that going to hit?
Who's the normal tax?
Yes.
I can't give you a number.
But I mean,
the revenue will be very small, but I think it's, you know, there's quite a part of revenue, a sense of justice.
Yeah.
That's what you have to get across.
We estimate that
$600,000.
It would be in the.
But what figure would you put on your minimum tax? What produces the $600,000? You talked about $600 million.
It is produced by going to the recommendation. Make sure the recommendation that you originally made, which
is our original 1969 form.
We'd probably reduce that, although we think that maybe more that in the last 2 years, the tax shelter industry has sort of, so to speak, has just blossomed, and there's just a tremendous amount of syndication going on. These things are just growing.
What's your reaction, Arthur? What's your reaction? In fact, that's what I had. Suppose we came out for that.
Sure.
Lots of folks would like it. I have no idea what folks is going to hit. Is it going to hit people earning $25,000?
I don't think so, but I think this is something that the Treasury wants to get right on.
So what I'm thinking about politically, if it hits people $50,000 above, how will we do it?
Well,
that's what I
heard. But we won't.
Pretty sure. But if it's any people in the 15 to 25, forget it.
No.
Those are our people.
I agree.
And they should be good.
I agree. But I would watch the 69 proposals had, there was some detailed provisions
you have to work on.
You see, there's a certain beauty about minimum tax. You don't have to talk about depletion allowances. You don't have to talk about any of specific tax preferences.
Right.
All that you're saying is people have these special people. We have our tax laws, and so happens to some individuals only have to be in the upper income group under a law that the Democratic Congress wanted, we were opposed to, by only 10%. We want to raise that. What figure you want to raise it to, I don't know. I would at least double it myself, or you might want to say 25. Or you don't have to, you don't necessarily have to do a figure in like that better if you can get by without it.
It's 10 now. I think that has the substantive advantages that Arthur has mentioned, and it has the political advantage that it reminds people that this is something that you proposed some time ago.
Yeah. Well, I would think the most important thing from a political standpoint, George, is to be able to say that this affects only people who earn so much and above.
And
you see my point? If you can't say that, forget it.
Well,
we don't scare the hell out of our own consumers.
Well, you have to say that, you have to qualify it, because...
Or others that don't.
Those people with an income of above, say, X dollars,
well,
whose income is derived in large part from tax-exempt bonds and other things like that, so that's what you want to put it, because you have a lot of wealthy contributors, and they will not be affected by this.
We
don't want to scare the 15,000.
Yeah. Well, all right. Why not just say that no tax increase across the board, flat, no tax increase. Start a comparison with a candidate who proposes to increase taxes.
Well, there is a tax reform. I call this reform.
Well, there's an increase for some people.
I realize that. But you may be put strongly on the defensive, and therefore
see what you think. We wanted to draw a very stark contrast. He is for tax. He is for tax increases. He has our own asset out. We are flatly against it.
Now, but listen, let me say, John, if you could have a device whereby it was very clear that you were simply getting people on the higher, much higher brackets, I don't give a damn about the big contributors, that they should be crawling on their hands and knees to work here.
And you're only getting some of them.
Yeah. Well, you're just kidding us, all right. You take this, I suppose you do that. So you nip that off, going back to our proposal of 1969, urge Congress to do what we've already asked them to do, and that they are not acting upon. But then, rather than saying additional revenue, that'll be given over to that goddamn OEO or something else, or community action, take that and give some relief, start the relief on the property tax.
Wow. Then you're for no tax increase except.
No, no. We're for tax reform. You see my point?
Yeah, but it seems to me if those are cutting edge.
I don't know. I'm just trying to get rid of
you. If you have an increase from the minimum tax and a decrease for older people and the property tax, and you net out to zero, you haven't increased taxes. You've increased some people's taxes, but you have created a wash there.
That's a little different. You know, the yield from this minimum tax position here was small. What can you do with one?
I didn't mean to do much. I just like to start. It's like you started with rescue
the property tax. The property tax. You have certain commitment there. I think your revenue sharing, you know, goes a good distance in meeting that commitment.
Let me suggest this, Arthur, because I saw George this morning on the international, and we got into this briefly. Let's have another crack at this, and I would like to have, if you would, if you, George, John, and I sit down and. And just to look over down the transcript, and let's look at it from a political standpoint. It's a crass political decision.
Sure.
Fair enough. I just don't know. I don't like the idea of it. And also, on the political side, I asked Tom to send it out to others.
It does just one more thing. It. I understand you're asking me. You don't want me to get boxed into a
space ritual.
Where or being in favor of the status quo without any, without even a slight change.
Well, I think to that position. We could probably get it back, but another way, but you know, I will see. I see your point here, but I agree.
All right. The most expert person after me, we have this kind of a discussion, but the most expert person on how these things work is Eddie Cohen.
Sure, try and have him.
But I know I think if we had him in the
that'll extend the meeting 2 hours.
Well, I'll tell him to keep his mouth shut unless he's asked a question.
What can he add to what you know? Well, that is a result of having that come in to see me. It's basically a political decision.
Any other reason for any answer to this?
Well, the minimum taxes.
Yeah.
It's creation. So.
You talk to him.
Anyway, I think it's a day.
No, I think he's very smart.
Oh, listen, let me do this. You've got a few more minutes here to spend.
Yeah.
Let me do this. Let me get these pictures. I got some senators here for some pictures. And you all wait for me and